We're joined in studio by New Hampshire Governor Kristi Noem. Governor, good to have you with us. Welcome.
I'm so excited to be actually in studio. I mean, I'm not kidding. This is great. We're on the phone all the time, but this is my first time back in, what, 2.5 years?
Well, it's got to be 2.5 years since the COVID, which was 2020. Yeah. And, of course, we all took precautions, and we didn't let anybody in the studio because no one needed to get near me.
It's like hermetically sealed.
It was hermetically sealed. It was. Good to have you with us. And you're here for a few minutes, and that's really cool. We also have a CNN crew following us. Well, following you. They could follow me if they want. But
I think you're more exciting than I am on certain days, Dave.
Well, okay. Thank you very much for that. I'll take that. Yeah. My agent.
You're the pulse of New Hampshire. You're all over the place.
I have a pulse, so that's a good thing. To have a pulse is a good thing in the morning, right?
In this day and age, take it.
Good to have you with us. Fourth term. I want to go back to your decision. Was it March or April or May? I forget. Everyone was thinking that you were going to run for U.S. Senate, and you turned Washington down because you're not a big fan of Washington. I know you've over the years. I know your family. Yeah. I know who you are.
Everyone else says, too.
You're looking back at that decision. Yeah. You like that decision that you made to go for fourth term for governor as opposed to U.S. Senate?
Well, here's the amazing thing. That was November of last year.
Was it November?
Isn't that unbelievable? Yeah, because that was when the race would have to start. But no, there's no doubt it was the right decision for me. And I think they're ultimately the right decision for the state. I'm more of an executive. I mean, there's a role for the U.S. Senate and Congress. It's very important, but not my skill set, not my desire. And in this day and age, as a governor, you can just protect the interests and fight for the interests of your state 100 times more effectively than someone in Washington can. So, I love the state. I love being here. Were you out there today? The beautiful fog coming over the foliage and all of that. Not quite the same look if you walked out of an apartment in Washington, D.C. this morning. So, I just love this state, and we're doing well. With the high energy prices, the high fuel costs, and all of that that we have to bear all over New England, New Hampshire's, we're doing very, we have a very strong economy, a lot of opportunity, fundamentally changing and redesigning everything from mental health to the opioid crisis and all of that. That's the exciting stuff. That's the fun stuff.
You've always said you've liked this job over the last 6 years. You've liked it, and you decided to want to do it again for another 2 years. Some people say, why throw yourself into that? Because you see what's going on with some of these races.
Yeah.
It's all negative stuff. Some of it's true. Some of it's not true. People are listening to sound bites.
You don't know what to believe, right?
I really believe that. You don't know what to believe now.
Yeah. So, look, I don't run negative ads. I just don't. I don't, because for a couple reasons. First, it's you got to be about what you're about. You can't just be about my opponent says da 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 with that evil, scary voice and the commercial. It all becomes white noise after a while, right? Everyone tunes it out. So as a candidate, whether it's for governor or the school board, you've got to be, what am I bringing to the table? If I'm going to put myself out there in a public sphere, I have to be about something. We have to be moving forward. What have we achieved? What are we trying to do? But all that 90% of the ads are negative, and I don't know. I just tune it up. My son watches YouTube, right? He'll come down and watch little YouTube clips and all that on television. He'll be watching kids' shows, and the commercials on the children's shows are these negative, scary ads. And he's like, "Yeah, Dad, who's this guy? What's this about? This looks like a scary movie." So that's just not the way I roll. One of the things I take the most pride in over the past few years is we try to keep the political temperature down for the most part. I mean, in other states, it is just vicious, right? And we have our back and forth, Republicans and Democrats, and especially in the primaries and all of that sort of thing. But I try to keep the temperature down, and that allows you to get a lot more stuff done. That's more my style, that's all.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of the issues. I mean, people are... We're looking at inflation. Everybody knows everything's costing more. We get that. We understand. Highest inflation rates in 40 years. Forget about who to blame. It doesn't matter. We have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you sense as you motor around the state of New Hampshire in this campaign for a fourth term, do you sense that inflation is the big issue? Do you sense that health care is a big issue? Is it abortion rights, reproductive rights? Is it taxes? What's the big issue that people are talking about? Because it seems to be a lot of stuff. People are just trying to figure out how to pay their bills and how to pay for
food. That's it. It's inflation, workforce, housing. Those are the big three, and they're all tied together, right? Everything's costing more. We don't have enough housing. The housing is preventing more workforce from being able to come in a state where businesses are growing. And I mean, I think we have something like 3,000 or 4,000 more businesses today than we did right before the pandemic. So people are moving here. They're bringing their companies here. They're expanding. They're trying new things. And so, but you need the housing. Yeah, you can't be successful economically. And if you're not successful economically, that's the key to creating opportunity for your family. So it's all lines up, but is inflation 8.3%? Is it 7%? It doesn't matter. It's way, it's like way more than we need right now and way more than a lot of folks can stand. And so it's all about creating that economic opportunity. And I think that's ultimately what folks are going to be voting on. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? But I can tell you when I'm out there, it's like, man, can you see what this costs? Can you see what that a gallon of milk costs? A lot of us never really pay attention to the price of a gallon of milk. Everybody's paying attention now. You know, everybody really is. Or eggs up 30, 40%. We're going to have a lack of, here's one for you. I heard nationally, we're going to have a lack of turkeys this Thanksgiving.
Would you see the price of turkeys? Price of turkeys per pound are way up.
Through the roof, yeah.
Ups. I talked about this yesterday on the program. Up 73%.
Yeah. And we were told, like, at some of the food banks, like New Hampshire Food Bank and everything, hey, you're going to have to do more ham this year than turkey. I mean, that's what a bizarre, this is the United States of America. What a bizarre conversation that we're having, right?
I'm doing turkey.
Yeah.
No, I'm doing turkey.
One way or another, I'm getting Mike is getting his turkey.
Thanksgiving meal for me is one of my favorite meals, and I'm not doing ham, I'm doing turkey.
I'm a turkey guy myself, but look, if it has to go, look, I'm not going to turn anything down. I'm more of a sides guy, right? I like the stuffing.
What sides do you like?
I'm a mashed potato stuffing guy, yeah. The things that are probably the least healthy, but I'm number seven of eight kids.
Nobody's healthy on Thanksgiving. Come on.
You have those green beans that are just doused in butter and you put them on the side so your mom sees it and your mom's like, oh, well, okay, he's having something healthy there too. He can have pie later.
Thanksgiving, we eat to the excess.
And what's your favorite pie?
My favorite pie?
Or dessert. How about dessert?
I am not a pumpkin pie fan.
Yeah. No, not at all?
No.
How about pumpkin? Like, do you do the pumpkin spice in your coffee?
No, I'm not into
none
that pumpkin stuff. Okay. And these people that come out with this pumpkin frosted flakes and everything else, I'm not doing it. Not doing it.
You rebel. So will you do pie?
I like things like the coconut cream pies, the Boston cream pies. Yeah. I like the cherry pies. I'm not a big pumpkin pie fan at all.
Is it a texture thing? Because a lot of people like pumpkin, but they won't
do the pie. No, it's just the taste. Sugar fix. That's
yeah. Funny. So my pie, like I do two things for therapy. One is baking cookies, and I love doing that. And one is baking pies at Thanksgiving. Mine is I do a chocolate cream pie from scratch. It's hard. I'm not very good at it. I'm getting better. And then I do my classic apple blueberry. I don't do cherry, but I do apple pie, blueberry pie, and pumpkin. I like to do a pumpkin pie.
I do the chocolate cream pie from scratch as well. My friends from Market Basket help me out.
Oh really?
Yeah, they do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like the hard part about that is I'm like whisking in the pan because you don't want it to congeal too fast on the heat. And if you don't have your heat right, it'll all congeal and burn on the bottom of the pot. So you got to keep the thing, you know, moving while you're pouring the ingredients in, you know, if you're doing the chocolate cream from scratch.
We could do a new segment once a week and call in to a Governor Sununu cooking segment. No, really.
But that's about it. That and then mac and cheese is about all I cook.
You know, on the serious side of things, you talk about cost of things and what about the energy? I mean, this is scaring a lot of people.
And it should.
And I know we have LIHEAP, we have these programs in place and things like that, but what can people do when they feel kind of helpless and they feel, you know, they get an $800 oil bill for 2 months or something like that? I mean, they're seeing these prices, you know, outrageous. Now, I actually bought gas yesterday for $3.29, so it actually is coming down a little bit. Here
gasoline is, but heating oil.
Heating oil is not.
So regionally, we've been told we may be a little bit short on kerosene and heating oil. We're not going to have 6 weeks of supply. We're going to have more like 3 weeks of supply.
Right.
Which is okay unless we hit a really bad cold snap, and then we're in trouble. So I tell everybody, first and foremost, fill your tanks. I know it's expensive. It's going to be $1,000 sometimes to fill it. Fill them today and be prepared. Get on a schedule with your oil provider right now so they come regularly. Because if you wait to be low, and then you're hoping to call them during a cold snap, you don't want to go without, right? So getting on, and for some folks are allowing you to lock in. They were kind of stopping the lock-in price stuff for a little while, but now some of the oil companies are allowing you to lock in prices. Lock it in, get on a schedule, know that the heat will be there. Because it's not like the summer where you can say, well, I don't want to turn the air conditioner on because, you know, I don't want to. You need the heat in the winter, right? It's just too dangerous not to turn that heat on or to do something silly like bring generators in the house and all that sort of thing. So it will be costly. There's a lot of assistance out there right now. If you did not previously qualify for heating oil assistance, you might very well may qualify now. We expanded the eligibility. The federal government wouldn't let us do it, but we created our own state program with expanded eligibility. Your local, what we call our CAP agencies, the community action programs. Contact one of the local CAP agencies. It's a very simple process. It's worth the phone call to see if you qualify. And there's a lot, there's like $50 million of assistance out there for a lot of families to help. But it's going to be a very painful winter. There's just no doubt about that. People say, well, Governor, you need to reassure us. And I'll reassure you that we're going to make sure that we have oil here. Absolutely. But it's going to be pricey for all of New England and really all of America. But all of New England, it's going to be very, very pricey.
Yeah, let's talk about coming out of COVID and the workforce, because I was at one of the malls in New Hampshire the other day, and I was very surprised about this. It was Sunday.
You were at a mall?
I was.
What is it, 1989?
Yeah, I was at a mall. What do you call them?
Shopping centers?
Is that the new appropriate term? Well, they still call it the mall in the title.
What one were you at? Were you in Manchester or Newington?
I was in Newington.
Yeah.
I was in Newington.
The function.
Yeah. Well, now you've told everybody where I was.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So anyway, it was Sunday, and you know, they have limited hours on Sunday, and I get that. But there were so many stores that were closed, and I asked the guy, why are some of these stores closed? He said, they don't have the people.
Yeah.
And now the story that I'm talking about today is we have a shortage of pharmacists. How serious is that?
A shortage of everybody. The only thing we're not short on is radio show hosts. That seems to be
a plethora. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much.
No, but it is true. Look, whether you run a hardware store or you're in a hospital or you're a pharmacist, there is a shortage. Now, people say, where are the workers? They're there. Like, we have as many workers today as we did.
Well, how do we energize the people coming back out of COVID to get back into the workforce?
They're getting in the workforce, but what they're doing is maybe the nurse is now working for Facebook marketing. They're working out of their home remotely for these very large tech companies or Amazon or Google that are literally hiring 30,000 people across the country, and they can get paid very well and be at home. So the change in dynamic is, hey, there's a good financial opportunity to get a job at home and not get burnt out in my previous job. I'm going to take that. And so what we're really losing is those jobs that have to be face-to-face, whether they are serving in a restaurant or serving as a pharmacist or serving as a doctor or a nurse. You can't do that remotely, right? So the change in workforce dynamics is drawing people out of the industries where we need the one-on-one. A lot of folks are burnt out. My hope is that, you know, they take a couple of years off and they come back. And we're already seeing a little bit of that. Nurses took a year and a half off. They went and did something else. They tried something, and now they're kind of coming back in. They're getting their legs under them again. And who can blame them? I mean, after everything that we asked them to do.
Well, a lot of people who decided to work at home when they didn't come back into the office, they said, well, I'll start my own business, you know. And a lot of people started their own businesses.
There's a woman up in, I think she's up in Wolfboro. She started a business making soap out of beer. And she's been very successful. She's won. She does a great job. And she tried this, and now she's selling it online. You can sell your wares online so easy now. You don't need to open up a storefront.
No, of course.
You can sell it all across the country. So it's a fundamental change in dynamics. It doesn't mean less people are working, per se. I think nationally that's happening. But you know where it's happening? It's happening in New York, in California, and some of the bigger cities. We're still a draw. We still have the fastest growing population in the Northeast. And that's the first time that's happened in a long time. So a lot of businesses are coming, more opportunity. You have SIG right down the road. They're going to hire another 500, 600, 700 people, right? Your manufacturers are moving here, small businesses. So it's a change dynamic. It's all very positive in that there's good economic growth for the state. But we need the people to be able to kind of keep up. We have a lot more Canadians now moving in to New Hampshire, which is very interesting because Canada was very shut down. The taxes are just crazy over there. A lot of folks from New Jersey and New York are moving in here, which is wonderful. Although I hope they keep their politics back in New Jersey and New York.
I'm a Jersey boy, transplanted New Englander. I'm a Jersey guy.
You have a lot to teach them, my friend.
Thank you
are
you
the sage that they
Thank
need
you
to
so much.
Into.
We're joined by New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu for a couple more moments here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. 98.1 AM 1270 WTSN. 107.7 WTPL and the 107.3 WEMJ all across from the Seacoast to the Lakes region to the Capital Region of Concord as well. Your opponent, Tom Sherman, says that you are not pro-choice. There's been a lot of back and forth about this whole abortion thing. He claims that you signed into law an abortion ban. Can you explain what you signed into law and if things have changed in New Hampshire regarding reproductive rights?
Yeah, so the legislature in 2021 attached this 24-week provision, very similar to what you see in Massachusetts or New York, onto the budget. I didn't like it. Well, it wasn't my idea. They did it. Okay, fine. So what it didn't have was a lot of flexibilities that we want, similar to other states, decriminalization of doctors, exceptions for rape and incest and all that sort of. I'm for all of that. Tom Sherman is for all of that. We're actually very aligned in all of those things, all those flexibilities you need after the 24-week provision. I get that the Democrats right now are just, I mean, every commercial seems to be about the abortion issue, but we're not that off from it. And so the strategy there is, oh, Sununu's an extremist and the Republicans are all extremists. This isn't Mississippi. This isn't Texas. This is New Hampshire. Nothing changed, right? I supported Roe v. Wade. It went away, but nothing changed from the day before to the day after, right? It didn't fundamentally change. So if they want more flexibilities put in there, I'm right with them. We're actually quite aligned on that, frankly. I mean, I think he wants like no restrictions at all whatsoever and all of that. And obviously I wouldn't go there, but looking to have our laws in line with states like Massachusetts and New York, very liberal states, is not radical at all. So, you know, I kind of move on from it. I hope we can get some more flexibilities put in. If the legislature will do it, I'll sign it tomorrow. We'll see. We got some more put in this last year. That was good. And there's probably still a little more work to do. But at the end of the day, the issues are inflation. Because this isn't an extreme issue here, people are going to vote. They're going to get out. And they want us to talk about what they are feeling at home. Right? Politicians typically will go out and talk about what they want to talk about, but that's the wrong thing to do. I want to go out and talk about what's hitting you at home. And so you listen. What are the questions they're asking? It's about inflation. It's about this. It's about what's happening on the southern border, drugs, opioid crisis, you know, all these things. These are things that impact us every day. Education, it's a big one. Those are the things that we should be talking about. And those are the things the issues that I think ultimately people will be voting on.
What do you think is most misunderstood? What do you think people think are misunderstood about Chris Sununu?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. What is misunderstood about me?
What do people may not realize about you then?
You know, I guess, I don't know. I would say this. I know I'm going for a fourth term. It's a bit unprecedented. John Lynch did it. Only one other governor is doing it. I guess it could be interpreted that this is what Sununu does. I'm not all politics. My mom and dad were very clear. You need to serve in some way, whether it's in politics or at becoming a teacher or at a nonprofit. You got to give of your time. But it is not a career. It isn't. It's just how you serve, and then you re-enter the private sector, and that's the full plan. We're still going through a little bit of the COVID stuff and all this, you know, national inflation. I'm running again because I said, you know what? We need a fiscal hawk that can watch the dollars and cents, make good decisions. And again, I'm ranked the most fiscally responsible governor in the country. I'm very proud of that. I really am. And we are also ranked number one in the country for biggest bang for your buck for government service. We have the best government service for the dollars that we put in. And again, we're getting a lot out of our system and we don't ask a lot of our citizens. That's what you're going to need as this recession hits. The recession's real. It's coming. My job is to make sure we're the last ones in and the first ones out of the recession. And so that's really what drove me on the fourth term. But no, I think maybe people think, oh, he's just this long-term career pilot. I'm an engineer. I ran a ski resort. And at some point, I'll probably go back and do that again, you know? But right now, the state's gone through some tough times. I think this community's did wonderful. COVID, we came through it phenomenal. Not because of Chris Sununu. Obviously, I had to take the brunt of it. But because as a community, we all were in it together. How is it that we had, you know, Boston, which had one of the highest death rates. God bless it. They had a really tough situation. Yet we were ranked the most personal freedoms with one of the lowest death rates.
Right.
With one of the strongest economies. It's a very tough balance to do, but we put the right team together and got it done. I'm very proud of that.
All right. Real important question now.
You going do into it. The
favorite Halloween candy?
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Oh, gosh. Really?
Oh, God. No?
Really? Not for me.
Are you a fruit guy? Are you more like a Sour Patch Kid Starburst guy?
No.
What is it?
M&M's for me.
You're not a peanut butter
and
guy?
I'm not a fan of that fun size stuff. You know, that little package stuff. Give me the big stuff.
Okay.
Give me the big Hershey bar. If I'm coming to your house, I want the big Hershey
bar. I'm going to be really controversial. If you're giving away the really giant candy, it's pretentious.
Okay.
You're just, it's like telling your neighbors, you know, come to my house. I have the big stuff.
Well,
I have the greenest lawn.
I get nobody at my house.
No, kids get so much candy. I'm a big believer in fun size. Yeah.
My dentist is not a big fan of Halloween, obviously.
Well, are you kidding?
No,
your dentist loves Halloween.
He does the take-back.
He makes $1 million off of Halloween.
He takes the take-back candy thing.
Well, we send all our extra candy to the military overseas.
Are you dressing up?
Well, I do. I'm really big on my decorations. I decorate my house like crazy.
Do you have the 12-foot skeleton yet?
No, I do a graveyard.
Have you seen the 12-foot skeleton?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Oh,
I saw
my
someone
gosh.
Try to steal. Did you see the guy trying to steal one of those on
How
YouTube?
How can you
the
steal
other
one of those?
It was like the head was dragging down the road outside the back of his car. No, I'm really big on Halloween decorations. Newfields is a great place to trick or treat, but and I have a lot of fun. So I dress up. I don't know what I'm doing this year yet. If anyone has any ideas, you
right,
can
well, keep me informed.
Ping me on Facebook.
Text me what you're going to do.
I'm going to go as Mike Pomp.
I don't know how that's going to look. Governor Chris Sununu joining us today here on The Pulse of New Hampshire. Always a pleasure to see you, my
Thank
friend.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for letting me back in the studio. I love it.
All right. You be well. We'll get you back soon.